Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Happy Mother's Day for the mums who are out there. It's great to see you at church. And it'd also be great, just as we were encouraged earlier today, to keep praying for Gordon and Fiona as the kids getting better from the operation. It's good to hear that things have been successful, but it's just going to take a little while in terms of recovery. Well, welcome to church, and especially welcome if it's your first time with us or you haven't been here for a while. I'd love to meet you afterwards if that's you. We're working our way through John, and we're coming to this great picture that we see in John chapter 10. And if you see at the very end, verse 21, this follows straight after John 9, where there's a reference to the blind man that we saw last week. We're going to pray now and ask God to be with us as we take a look at God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your generosity to us. We thank you for the privilege that we can come together here on Mother's Day. We pray for our brother Gordon. We pray, Lord, that you'll give him a speedy recovery and be with Fiona and their family, that you'll be with him at this time. Father, we also pray that during this time now, as we look at your word, help us to see Jesus for who he is and help us to see who we are in light of him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, a couple of years ago, we had our Pupil Free Day event over in the hall. That's when we get the kids to come together, kids from our church and from outside, and we do some activities, we do some Bible lessons with them. And I was leading the kindies to year two. That was the group that I was looking after. And so we played a very quick game at the start, kind of a get-to-know-you game. And the question was, if you could be an animal, what would it be? If you could be an animal, what would it be? Everyone came up with different answers to that question. I think we had a couple of dogs. That seems to be one of the natural questions, the natural answers to go to. They're loyal and friendly. They're warm. There was a tiger. There was a shark. There was a bird. I still remember Eva's answer. She was in the group that I was leading. Eva wanted to be a cat. And not just any cat, but a cat that lived in a hotel. I thought that was a good answer. Now, the Bible's answer to that question, what animal would you be, is that we are sheep. We are sheep. That is not particularly flattering, but that's what we are. Now, a bit of Bible trivia, the most common animal in the Bible, they're sheep. They're mentioned over 200 times. Psalm 100 verse 3, we are sheep. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. One of the most famous psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, because the picture there is that we are sheep. Now, sheep are common in Australia. They're not here in Sydney, but they're common in Australia. We have over 104 million sheep in this country. They're also quite common in the time of Jesus. This is very everyday kind of language. Now, here's the thing that you need to know about sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd because otherwise they die. Now, you've heard of feral cats. You've heard of feral dogs. You even have feral pigs. But you don't have feral sheep because by themselves, they end up dying. Now, I thought I'd give Jack a bit of a hard time, and I've actually asked him to see if he can pull off something in terms of the AV side of things. And so I've just got like a 20-second video that I'm going to see is going to play in just a moment. The picture of a sheep. And stop. Yep, that's enough. Thanks, Jack. Sheep are pretty stupid too. Sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd to protect them, to bring them food, to give them water, to look after their injuries, to pull them out of ditches again and again and again to keep them safe. I looked up a dictionary about sheep and it said this: sheep are singularly unintelligent. They're prone to wander, unable to find their way home, even if they see it. You know, sheep can die just by lying down. Because sometimes I lie down, they tip over, and they can't get back up again. A sheep without a shepherd is lion food. It's wolf food. It can't survive. And Jesus uses the image of a shepherd so that we can understand who he is and who we are. Now, in John chapter 10, there's three things we're going to look at. Three things about Jesus in the passage that we just read through. Now, to make things a little bit confusing, although it will make it easier for us, we're going to look at John 1, chapter 10, verses 1 to 21 backwards. We're going to start at the end, and we're going to work our way to the beginning of John chapter 10. If you're taking notes, point number one is going to be the longest one. Point number one is this: Jesus is the good shepherd. And we see that in verses 11 to 18. Let me read verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now the language here, it comes from the Old Testament. We see things like Psalm 23, but the idea of the shepherd especially comes from Ezekiel 34. Now in Ezekiel 34, the sheep are God's people and the shepherds, they're the leaders. They're the kings, maybe the priests. They're supposed to be looking after the sheep, but instead of doing that, they abuse the sheep. They use the sheep. They exploit them. Ever know a boss who was like that? It reminds me a little bit of Kim Jong-un in North Korea. 60% of the population of North Korea, they live below the poverty line. The average person earns around $5 Australian a day. It's hardly anything. While everyone is struggling to live, Kim Jong-un has 17 palaces, 100 luxury cars, a private jet, a 100-foot yacht. He's worth around $5 billion. The people suffer. The leader lives it up. And sometimes because the people suffer. That's what's going on here in Ezekiel. But then at the same time in Ezekiel 34, God makes a promise. God will look after the sheep. He will rescue them. He will lead them. He'll look after them. He'll search for the lost. He'll bind up the injured. He will bring them to food. In fact, he's going to send a prince, a king. My servant David, he will tend them and be their shepherd. And Jesus says, that is me. I am the good shepherd that has been promised for over 600 years. I am the good shepherd. And you see what the good shepherd, what he's going to do. There's two things here. The first off, he lays down his life. Now, Jesus really wants us to see that because he says it four times. Verse 11, 15, 17, 18. The good shepherd, Jesus, lays down his life for the sheep. He dies to save us. You see, in verse 12, there is danger. There are wolves. And the biggest wolf we will ever face is death. Because at that point, we come before God face to face. And all of our sin, all the things that we've done against God, we are held to account. We face the judgment of God. And that is why Jesus dies, to save us, to rescue us. It's like the lamb has been caught by the wolf. The lamb has its leg in the jaws of the wolf. It can't get away. It's a goner. But the shepherd comes and he steps in. He doesn't risk his life. He gives his life. Now in verse 12, the hired hand, when the wolf comes, he runs off. He doesn't own the sheep. Why does he care? And to tell the truth, if it was me, I would do the same. If it's me or the sheep, I'd say to the wolf, take the sheep. Take two of them. Now my friend has an uncle who has a sheep farm. Now, imagine the uncle comes home one time and he tells his family, I'm going to die for the sheep. There's a bunch of wolves. They're coming tonight. Without me, the sheep are dead. And it's not that I might die. I will die. It's one or the other. Now, what would you say to the uncle? What would the family say? Don't be stupid. They're not worth it. And they're not. Don't die for the sheep. But do you see here the heart of Jesus? Jesus says they are worth it. He looks at the sheep, he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, you are worth it. He lays down his life for us. The good shepherd, this is incredible. He lays down his life. The second thing he does is that the good shepherd knows his sheep. We see that in verse 14. I know my sheep know me. Now, my friend's uncle, he has hundreds of sheep, maybe even thousands of sheep. Nowadays, you have utes and quad bikes. You even have drones to do shepherding. There's no way that you know all the sheep one by one, each one of them by name. They don't even have names. They don't even have numbers. Back then, a shepherd would have 10 or 20 sheep to look after. He knows each one of them. He knows them by name. Now imagine if the Queen was here in Sydney and there was a big parade for her. You're down there on George Street, there's a huge crowd and the place is packed. And as her car is coming down the road, it's a Rolls Royce, just where you are, the car slows down and the windows get rolled down. It's the Queen. Now imagine you see her and then you see me a little bit further down the line and she leans out the window and she says, Albie, it's great to see you. How are the kids? How's Dawn doing? Now, the thing is, we know the Queen. There's nothing special about that. Everyone knows the Queen. But imagine if the Queen knows us. See, friends, that is a much bigger deal. That's what we have here, except it's not the Queen. This is the King of the Queen. This is the King of the universe. He knows each one of us. And do you know how deep he knows us? How intimately in verse 15? He knows us just as a father knows Jesus and Jesus knows the Father. That is how well Jesus knows us. See, I teach scripture at Roseville Public School as well as Castle Cove. I have 25 kids in my class. I teach year two and they know me. They know that I go to church. They know that I'm a Christian. They know that I've got three kids. But they don't know me the way that Zach does. Zach knows what I look like in the morning. He knows what I eat. He knows what it's like to get a hug. He knows that I love him. And he knows that he's my son. Now that's what we have with God. If you don't see God like that, if you don't have that kind of a relationship, I would love you to talk to me afterwards because that is what God offers us. And if you have that relationship, be blown away by Jesus. We always want people to know us. We want people to understand us. And we want them to love us at the same time. And sometimes those two things don't come together. But they do in Jesus. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life and he knows us intimately. That's the first and maybe the biggest thing that we see about Jesus in John chapter 10. The second thing we see is that he is the gate. He's the way in and he's the way out. Take a look at verse 7. Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. It's talking about the sheep pen there, the place where the sheep sleep at night. There are walls and Jesus is the gate. Now, Sir George Adam Smith, he was a theologian. He died in 1942. And he told this story about meeting a shepherd in Israel. And he started talking with a man. He started talking with a shepherd. This person wasn't a Christian, but the man showed him the sheep pen. The sheep pen had four walls. There was a way in, but there was no door. It was just a hole. It was a gap. George asked him, "This is where they go at night, but there's no door." And the shepherd said, "I'm the door. He sleeps in that gap. He lies across the entrance. He keeps the sheep safe. He's the door." Now, in a less poetic way, I get that because that's what I used to do. When my kids were younger and they were sort of toddling around, I'd put them in the bedroom where the toys were. And if I was tired and I needed a nap, I would sleep in the doorway. They couldn't get out. I'd keep them safe. I'd keep them in. I was the gate. Jesus is the gate. He's the way in to the place of safety, the place of rest, the place of refuge and shelter, and is the way out to find food and water and pasture, nourishment. Verse 9, whoever enters through me will be saved. Notice that it's kind of like John 14, verse 6. Jesus is the only way to be saved. It is through him. Jesus is the only way to be part of God's flock. The wolf is going to come. Judgment is going to come. Death is going to come. But do you see what Jesus says in verse 10? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Sometimes as Christians, we feel that we're missing out. We look at the people around us and we want what they have. We want to live the way that they live. It's easier to be selfish. It's easier when we can just live the way that we want to live. Sometimes we think about being a Christian. It's a bunch of rules. It's drab. It's boring. You can't do this. You have to do that. I wonder this morning, what do you think is missing from your life? What is it that if you could just grab it, get hold of it, life would be great and there would be joy? If only I could pay off the house. If only my kids could get into the right high school. If only I could get the right kind of job that will set me up. We clamor after all these other things, but Jesus gives life to the full. He gives us a relationship with the Father. Our sins are forgiven. Life forever in verse 28. Where do you go to be filled? What is your source of joy? Because Jesus is the gate. He's the only gate into the presence and blessings of God. The good shepherd, the gate, and lastly, he's the voice. Verse 2. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Verse 4. The shepherd goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, sometimes when we're out in a crowd and I need to get my kids' attention, I've got this thing that I use so that they'd recognize that. I don't know how it works with the mic, but it goes like this. I just make a sound which is something that they recognize. They know it's me. They know that it's me calling them. At the same time, we tell them, if a stranger goes up to them and tells them to follow them, the stranger, we tell the kids to run away. You don't follow the stranger. It's what happens with sheep. Apparently, even today in the Middle East, when you've got different groups of sheep that come together and they're drinking from the same well, and even though it's nighttime, they can't see the shepherd. When the shepherd calls them out, the sheep find their way to the right voice. They can recognize the shepherd's voice. And that's what happens with the sheep of Jesus. He calls us by name. He leads us and we follow him because we know his voice. Now, there's a difference, isn't there, between knowing the voice of Jesus and following the voice of Jesus. We know the voice of Jesus. If you've got one of those Bibles which has got red letters, there you go. It's the words of Jesus. We can study the words of Jesus. We can summarize it, explain it. We can even memorize it. You might have been coming to church for years. But that is worlds away from following the voice of Jesus, isn't it? Living it out. Following the voice of Jesus, it means obeying in the big things and the small things, at church, at work, at home, how you use your money, how you treat your husband, your wife, what you want for your kids. What good is it if the shepherd says, go here and we go somewhere else? Or the shepherd says, don't eat this, but we ignore him because it tastes delicious. The mark of a Christian, if you're one of his sheep or not, is how you respond to his voice. Don't just know the voice of God. Hear the shepherd's voice. Follow him even when it's hard, even when it's not comfortable, even when you want to go somewhere else with your money, telling someone about Jesus, serving at church. Make sure you don't just know, but you're following. The Australian coat of arms has a kangaroo and an emu on it. And I'm told it's because those two animals, they don't move backwards, or at least they find it hard to move backwards. And it's supposed to symbolize Australia moving forwards. Now, if we had a coat of arms, our coat of arms would not have an emu or a kangaroo, it would have a sheep. That's what John says, that's what Jesus says. The question this morning is, who are you following? Who are you following? That was kind of the discussion question earlier. There are all sorts of shepherds out there, different voices wanting us to follow, to go that way. Ideas that we listen to, it can be our parents, it can be a friend, it could be the media. What the world thinks, our jobs, our boss, it can be ourselves, our desires. That is what we're following. That's what drives us. At the end of the day, it only comes down to two things. It's either Jesus or the world. Now, only one of those is the good shepherd who lays down his life and knows his sheep. Only one of those is the gate into the presence of God. Only one of those is the voice that brings life to the full. Maybe we need to think again this morning. Who are we following? What are we following? We need to change things around. Don't just hear the voice of Jesus and ignore it. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Follow him and live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for Jesus. We thank you for sending your shepherd, your son, who would lay down his life for us. We thank you, Lord, that he knows us deeply and intimately. And Father, we pray that as his sheep, that we listen to his voice and that we find in Jesus and nowhere else, that we find in Jesus life and life to the full. And we ask this in his name. Amen.